Good morning. I call the State and Local Government Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order for March 14th, 2023. We do have a quorum present. Is that correct? Yes, we do have a quorum present. Representative Hewitt, have you had a chance to review the March 9th minutes? And would you make a motion to adopt the March 9th minutes?
Madam Chair, so moved.
Is there any discussion to the minutes of March 9th? Seeing none, all those in favor of adoption of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion prevails and the minutes of March 9th, 2023 are approved. Okay, we are going to ask Vice Chair Hewitt to take the gavel, and I will do House File 2255.
Madam Chair, are you ready to move your bill?
We are. Thank you. I move House File 2555 to be re-referred to the General Register.
Madam Chair, to your bill.
Members, it's a pretty simple bill, and I have with me today our wonderful librarian. But this bill is just changing the requirement that the library receive two copies to one copy for the legislative reference library. And I would ask that we please move to my testifier for the importance of this bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to the testifier, if you could state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
My name is Elizabeth Lincoln, and I'm the director of the Legislative Reference Library. The library has traditionally received paper copies of all reports that have been submitted. We have the statute requires two. We don't need two copies any longer. We've shifted to electronic documents in many cases. We still would like to retain. We work with the agencies for the if the reports are better in electronic format, but we still would like to retain one copy being submitted to the library.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Chair Cleborn, is there anyone else that's willing to want to testify on this bill?
Vice Chair Hewitt, I have no idea if anyone from the public would like to testify, but I have no further testifiers.
This is a public hearing. Are there anybody in the audience that would like to testify on House File 2555? Madam Chair, I'm going to open it for member discussion if you're okay with that.
Thank you.
Lead Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Madam Chair, thanks for the bill. Just another example of the crazy bills that we no. It's a very good bill. We don't need any more paper. We should do that all electronically, and we should all vote yes.
Madam Chair,
I ask for member support.
Seeing no more discussion, all in favor of the bill?
May I please renew my motion? Renew my motion that House File 2555 be re-referred to the General Register.
With Madam Chair renewing her motion that this be moved to the General Register, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Off to the General Register.
Thank you. Good morning, Representative Howard. It's good to see you in committee. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Our next bill will be House File 348. I will move that House File 348 be re-referred to Ways and Means. Representative Howard, we have the bill before us. Would you like to speak to your bill?
Thank you, Chair Cleborn. House File 348 is a bill that would help Minnesotans manage the costs of their prescription drugs and medical supplies for conditions that are complex and can cost extreme amounts of money and stress on Minnesotans, thousands of Minnesotans. And so what this bill would do would be to cap the cost of insulin, EpiPens and asthma medications for Minnesotans that are managing diabetes, that have allergy conditions, that have asthma, at $25 per month. It would also cap the cost of medical supplies at $50 per month, an issue that we haven't talked as much about. We've had a lot of conversation about the cost of insulin, the cost of drugs, but this bill would also get at the cost of the supplies, which have become a huge cost driver for many Minnesotans. And we're targeting these conditions because they affect thousands of Minnesotans, and we've heard from many, many Minnesotans about the hardships and burdens that these costs have on the managing the diseases and conditions, and helping Minnesotans control those costs will help them better manage their conditions, better stay out of the hospital, stay out of the emergency room, and really create a win-win situation. The reason we're here in StateGov is there is a limited cost to CGIP, because this would apply to our state employees. There's about 130,000 employees in CGIP, and the fiscal note estimates about a 21 cents per month impact on those plans. The state would pick up 87% of those costs, and 13% would be borne by employees. And so there's a minimal fiscal cost, which is why we're here before StateGov. But this will have a significant impact on thousands of Minnesotans. The last thing I'll say is, this legislature in previous years has done very good bipartisan work in the area of prescription drugs, and this is an area for us to take another step. Over 20 states, red states and blue states, have copay caps like this in place, and this is an opportunity for Minnesota to take action that will help thousands of Minnesotans.
Thank you, Representative Howard. And I know when we heard this bill in Commerce, there were numerous people who came in and talked about the hardships of these costs on them. We will move to testimony. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll move to member discussion. Is there any discussion, members, on the bill? Representative Nadeau.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Howard, for bringing this. I'll probably have a struggle, and Madam Chair, you can probably keep me on track. I don't want to get into the health component of this. I want to stay in the state gov part. And I know that we're only addressing 348 today, but my concern is the cumulative impact on CGIP. We've got a number. This is one of, you know, four or five bills that are coming through the legislature that are going to have an impact on CGIP. And my question is, and I'm not sure that you've done this, and maybe you could just address it from this bill. Copays are an important thing, and it's a balancing act, trying to make sure that we have adequate utilization, that we're not inhibiting people from accessing services. And oftentimes, I mean, I know what the plans do is the plans use actuaries to try to figure out what that sweet spot is, that balance, to make sure that there's skin in the game and keeping costs down and also not decreasing utilization. As you've worked on this, have you worked with people to try to find, I mean, I know that zero deductible is kind of a sweet spot, but it also has a cost, and there's also a cumulative impact. Have you done any work on looking at what that cumulative impact would be to CGIP?
We will keep the debate confined to the subject matter of the bill. Representative Howard.
Chair Cleavorn, I would answer it in a few ways. One, I think for this particular condition, there's a case for the health plans to keep copays low, in part because when folks are having trouble with that cost, that is going to show up in other more high cost medical interventions. So, for example, folks with type 1 diabetes, the doctors will say that the best way to manage that is through a CGM, a continuous glucose monitor. But I've heard from doctors that say that they're having to counsel patients about other methods to manage their diabetes because the cost component comes in. And if someone is not on a CGM, they might end up, going to the emergency room, a higher medical intervention, which is one of the reasons that the Minnesota health plans currently have voluntarily capped their copays at this amount. And so in some sense, the copay cap here, we're essentially putting in place what has been the practice of our health plans. And I think you can see that borne out in the fiscal note, in that we're talking about a very, very minimal cost. And you mentioned other bills. I'm not sure if other bills have a much higher sort of impact, but when we're talking, 20 cents a month to the overall, or a dollar or two a year, to me that's a very reasonable path to go in terms of when the other side of the balance is tens of thousands of Minnesotans being able to better manage their condition.
Thank you, Representative Howard. Representative Nadeau.
And thank you, Representative Howard. The only other bill that we've had in front of State Gov was House File 390, and that had a similar fiscal note, which is why I kind of brought it up. So I appreciate that. I appreciate the bill. I don't have any other questions. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Howard, I'll just add that my own inhaler that I use several, but one that I use every morning is $243 a month. I pay a $53 copay with our current state insurance. So the change for me would be $3. But if I don't use it, a trip to the emergency room is $2,500. So it is a tremendous expense to the state if I don't use it regularly. So I'll just add that. Members, is there any other discussion? Representative Hewitt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Howard, more of a medical story, I guess, again. And one of my biggest concerns and one of the strangest cases that I was on was I was called to a home where a person was septic. And for that reason, and they were actually a state employee too, which was really interesting. And we looked at the wound site because that's usually a relation to the sepsis. And we said, well, what's going on in a type 2 diabetic? Well, because of the supply cost, the individual was reusing their syringes over and over again. So these are good bills. Thank you for bringing it forward, and we got to make sure we protect everybody.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you. I have no issues with the part of the bill that pertains to us. So I'll say that up front. But I do want to just bring us back in this. We talk a lot about the dollars and cents of these issues. And really, this bill makes sense. And it makes sense because we talk about return on investment. For every dollar we invest up front in preventative care, we save exponentially on the back end. And I will tell you, the example that I have given you, Representative Howard, and so forth, is, my sister is type 1. She was given a pump because of various health issues. Her diabetes was not under good control. They paid for the pump, but then refused to pay for the cartridges with the insulin in them, which, of course, renders the device useless. But the reason she's on that particular device to monitor and maintain good control over her diabetes is so that she does not end up in ketones. She does not end up in the hospital. An average hospital stay at this time is currently somewhere between $10,000 to $12,000. That may have gone up slightly since the last time I done that homework. However, my sister generally, because of bad management, will end up in the hospital 3 to 4 times a year. Let's do the math on that, folks. That is about $48,000 to $50,000. And we trade that out for about maybe a few thousand dollars worth of supplies. It's very clear to see very quickly why these policies make sense, not only for consumers, but why they make sense for the health plans. And I wish that they would do more and have been very vocal with them about this particular issue. But for that reason, I am delighted with this bill. I am a co-author, in full disclosure, of this bill, and it is an excellent, excellent bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Seeing no further discussion, Lead Nash, did you want to say?
Madam Chair, thank you. I think that there are some salient points that Representative Nadeau made and that we could make outside of the purview of this this committee, but we'll save that for the floor. But other than that, I would say that I'm not sure why the author chooses to single only a prescribed thing number of things out in the plan as opposed to all of the drugs. And I'm not sure that changing the copay necessarily keeps prices lower, but that's a debate and theory that we can have later and on the floor. But I will not be supporting the bill, but that should surprise nobody, I guess.
Thank you, Lead Nash. Representative Howard, would you like to wrap up, and then we'll call it, I'll renew the motion, and then we'll call the vote.
Chair Cleavorn, members, I really appreciate the conversation. This would have a positive impact for tens of thousands of Minnesotans who are managing complex conditions. It would help them manage their costs. It would help folks stay healthy inside of the emergency room. It is as common sense as they come, and I would encourage members to support it.
Thank you. And with that, I will renew the motion that House File 348 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Nope.
Hearing a few, the motion prevails, and House File 348 is re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. Thank you, Representative Howard.
Thank you.
Next, we will have House File 2446.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good to see you, Representative Nadeau, at the testifying table.
I would love to move 2446. I don't even know where I'm moving. I want to move it to the consent calendar on the general register.
But the motion will be for possible inclusion.
Okay. All right. Well, it was worth a try, right?
Okay. So to be clear, the motion is House File 2446 be laid over for possible inclusion.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Please present your bill.
And thank you, the members, and I appreciate being having the opportunity to present this. Many of you probably don't know, but the Minnesota Building Commission has served the city of Minneapolis and Hennepin County managing the City Hall. It's a combo building. The county has the sheriff's and the sheriff's office and the jail in it, and the city has most of the remaining part of the utilization of the City Hall, and it's been this agreement's been in place since 1904. 119 years ago, this may have been an innovative approach to managing government buildings, but today it's inefficient and it's cumbersome. This bill would dissolve the Minnesota Building Commission and convert the oversight and management of this municipal building from the current structure under which it operates into a joint powers agreement between the city and the county. The county occupies 40% of the building. The rest of the building is occupied by city departments, city council, the mayor, and the city is the primary tenant of the building. The city and the county have been in protracted discussions regarding a better arrangement and agree that the building can be operated more efficiently and effectively without the independent commission. And this bill repeals the statutes establishing this commission. Current employees of the Municipal Building Commission would become city or county employees. And we have people here today to testify and answer any hard questions that you guys have. So with that, I'd like to introduce Commissioner Marion Green. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And welcome, Commissioner Green, to the committee. If you'll state your name for the record and then begin your testimony.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. My name is Marion Green. I'm a Hennepin County Commissioner. And Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm also a former House member and remember fondly serving on this very committee. So it's great to be back. I'm here to testify in support of House File 2446, a bill to eliminate the Municipal Building Commission. And we'll start by thanking Representative Nadeau for carrying this bill. Hennepin County fully supports the legislation and looks forward to working with the city, continuing to work with the city, on adopting a new, updated business model to manage and care for the historic City Hall building in downtown Minneapolis. The MBC was created, as you heard, in statute in 1903 and began operating in 1904. The MBC consists of four members, the chair of the county board and one appointee of the county board, and then the mayor of Minneapolis and one city council member. from the Minneapolis Council. Currently, the members are myself and Commissioner Fernando and Mayor Fry and Councilmember Lisa Goodman. The commission was created to care for and control the use of City Hall, which at the time also included the county courthouse. Hennepin County moved most operations across the street to our current building in 1975. And today, city departments occupy 60% of the building, and the county and district court occupy 40%. County offices include the sheriff's department, the county jail, and some court functions. Hennepin County and the City of Minneapolis both agree that the MBC, an over 100-year-old statutory construct to operate the building, is outdated. By replacing it with an updated and modern JPA, we can continue to share the space, provide mutually for its care and use, and streamline how the building is managed. As outlined in the bill, as drafted in Section 5, Paragraph B, preliminary discussions with the city and labor unions representing the current employees of the MBC ensure that those people will continue to have jobs, most likely with the City of Minneapolis. And we anticipate that the current space sharing agreement will continue. One interesting historical note that I'll share, when this arrangement was originally constructed, the building contained a chicken coop and a blacksmith shop. My one criticism of the bill as written is that it doesn't require the city to put those back, but I hope the author is open to an amendment. Sorry if it's too early for jokes like that. but mostly I just want to thank the author and thank you all and be available for any questions.
And Commissioner Green, you used the JPA.
JPA, Joint Powers Agreement.
Thank you. Just to make sure the public knows what that is. Thank you.
And MBC Municipal Building Commission.
Thank you so much. We also have Lisa Goodman to testify. And then next we would have Kirk Peterson. Ms. Goodman, if you'll state your name for the record and please begin your testimony. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Lisa Goodman. I am a member of the Minneapolis City Council representing the 7th Ward in my final and last year, which is year 26. I have served on the Municipal Building Commission for three terms under three different mayors and four different county board members, as well as about a half a dozen elected officials who have served in this capacity. I'm here today to testify in favor of House File 2446. This is a bill authored by our friend and ally, Representative Nadeau, about better government. We are here as Democrats to tell you there is a better way to do this, and this outdated law will allow the county, the city, our labor unions, and employees to work together to improve their working conditions, be more efficient in the way the building is managed, and save money by getting rid of overhead. We're happy that the county has been a very strong partner with the city, although we do operate in a majority of the building. When this law was put into place, no one in government had multiple buildings. So it made sense at that time to do it that way. But the county has spread out throughout the county to serve people better, and the city has done so as well. And we have learned a lot. And one thing we know is that no one would operate a building like this the way it's being operated in the private sector. And what we need to do is be more efficient and effective in Minneapolis city government as well as Hennepin County, which is why elected officials along with labor unions and our employees support this bill. I will also give you a fun fact about the building. The entrance of the building, if you've ever seen it, used to house a horse stable. So when this law was put into place, we had horses and chickens in the building. Things have changed pretty dramatically, and we believe this is the best way to allow us to move forward collaboratively along with our employees. And I'm happy to answer any questions. I have served a long time, and I'm prepared to answer questions from the committee. Madam Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Goodman. If you would just have a seat in the audience. If we have questions, we'll call you back up.
Thank you so much.
Kirk Peterson, are you wishing to testify? All right, thank you. And then we have Kyle Mancarios. Thank you. If you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Morning, Madam Chair, committee members. My name is Kyle Macarios. I'm here on behalf of the Minneapolis Building and Construction Trades Council. We represent about 10 in-house skilled trained professionals, craft professionals that work in-house at the courthouse for the Municipal Building Commission. And we strongly support House File 2446. Thank you, Representative Nadeau, for carrying this important bill. We also want to thank Commissioner Green and Councilmember Goodman and the other members of the Building Commission for the great communication that our members and our union has had with the throughout this process. We strongly appreciate the language in this bill in Section 5 that requires them to come to an agreement with bargaining representatives of representative employees to make sure that our folks are taken care of for whatever the next phase of this is. But we do agree that it is time to get rid of this archaic structure and transform into something more modern. And happy to take questions, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much for your testimony. We appreciate your being with us. I do want to call the public's attention. We did receive an anonymous opposition this morning, and I don't know who it's from, but I just want to make sure that everybody is aware that that came since it was not posted earlier. I see no further scheduled testimony. Is there anyone else in the public who would like to testify? Seeing none, we will move it to member discussion. Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author. Representative Nadeau, in lines 2.27 through 2.29, you repeal a number of statutes. Can you give us in detail what those statutes say, please?
Yes, I can.
Oh, that was actually just some hazing.
I'm sorry?
That was just some hazing. You're fine.
Oh, you don't want me to go through the repealers? I'm happy to do it.
No, I was just making sure that you're being a good author and studying all your stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
And just so the public is aware, the repealers are attached to the bill so that we all know what's being repealed. But thank you. Any further question? Members, any further discussion? And with that, I will renew my motion. Would you like to close before?
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you, members. And I hope you support this. I hope we can include it in our bill. It's been a long time in coming. And honestly, this will streamline operations between the county and the city. And they work so well together. And I assure you that it will be a better situation for all of them. So thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. And with that, would you like to renew your motion that House File 2446 be laid over for possible inclusion?
Yes.
And with that, House File 2446 is laid over for possible inclusion. Thank you. Next, we will have House File 1723, Representative Freiberg. Representative Freiberg, would you like to move your bill, House File 1723, be re-referred to the Elections Committee?
Sure, I will move that House File 1723 be re-referred to the Elections Committee.
Thank you, and with that, the bill is before us. Please discuss your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill contains several provisions that are in the governor's budget. I'll just summarize them briefly. Section 1 removes the requirement that federal Help America Vote Act or HAVA funds have to get appropriated by the legislature. These critical funds are used to enhance election technology and make election security improvements. But over the past few years, unfortunately, the funds have been used as leverage in legislative negotiations unrelated to election security. I just believe strongly that we should trust our election administrators to use the funds prudently, and we're unique among states, not in a good way, in having this requirement for legislative appropriation. Section 2 is a one-time request, and this is probably the most germane to this committee, for approximately $477,000 for the payment of court-ordered attorney's fees as a result of the Minnesota Special Redistricting Panel's resolution of redistricting matters. Under federal law, plaintiffs are entitled to seek reimbursement for attorney fees and costs associated with redistricting litigation. The court has granted reimbursement. There is incentive to pass this and pay it sooner as interest is accruing, and passing it sooner will actually save money. And Representative Nash, I know you have worked on this as well. And thank you for your work. I've been meaning to sign on as a co-author to your bill. In fact, House File 1418 that contains this provision, although it doesn't have the other two provisions. Section 3 is a one-time amount of $461,000 to meet the state matching requirements that will allow the Office of Secretary of State to utilize over $2 million in federal HAVA funds to secure and improve Minnesota's election systems. That's just a quick walkthrough of the bill. I believe the Secretary of State is here to testify also.
Thank you so much. Secretary of State Simon, if you'd like to come forward. Please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Member. Steve Simon, Minnesota Secretary of State. It's an honor to be here before you. I want to thank Representative Freiberg for carrying this bill. I think he effectively set the stage. I know you're pressed for time, so I'm just going to limit my remarks to Section 1 of the bill because it is an interesting policy issue, I think, for consideration of this committee. That first part of the bill pertains to federal funds under the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA. Since its passage in 2002, Congress has periodically appropriated money to secretaries of state for various elections purposes, and in recent years, Congress has appropriated the money for election security purposes. But Congress has wanted states to have some skin in the game, and so it's usually required a state match of anywhere from 5 to 20%, sometime within 2 years of the appropriation. The problem here is that Minnesota has a law on the books, we think that we're unique among all 50 states, that allows the legislature to basically intercept the HAVA money and sit on it. So Congress appropriates the money to the Office of Secretary of State, all offices of Secretary of State across the country, and the legislature can basically shortstop it, can basically stand in the way. And that law really has been abused. The most blatant example came in 2018. Congress appropriated money to all secretaries of state for election security purposes, and that money was meant mostly to help states beat back would-be hackers in the 2018 election. But the Minnesota Senate, not the House, the Senate, blocked those funds for reasons that no one even today can articulate with a straight face. As a result, we were the last state in America to get those HAVA funds, and they were finally appropriated in 2019, more than a year after they were granted by the federal government, and after the 2018 election for which the funds were intended. So the law really doesn't make sense. And don't get me wrong, members, I believe in oversight, even when I and we are the subject of it. That's appropriate, that's necessary, that is healthy when you perform an oversight function. But the federal government already limits how these security funds can be spent. It requires that our office file a spending plan and submit quarterly financial reports. They're subject to federal audit. Plus, you and the legislature always have a sword hanging over us anyway, which is you can refuse to appropriate the matching funds. So it's not as if you're not without tools. You are, and that's appropriate. So if a future Secretary of State does something with these funds or says that she or he will do something with the funds that you believe are inappropriate, you can withhold those matching funds. And I think that's appropriate. You have the power of the purse. So I wouldn't want to take that away from you. But this particular law does need changing. And I want to single out for thanks Representative Nash, the lead on this committee, who's been a great ally on this issue. He said at a previous hearing that he thought we agreed on 10% of issues. I think that's a little stingy. It's more like 20%. But this is among the 20% of issues that I think we agree on, which is when it comes to cybersecurity, which really is national security, we can't play around here. Legislative oversight is necessary and helpful and critical. But this is different than that. You still have the oversight. You just can't shortstop and hold on to the funds. So I want to thank Representative Freiberg for his leadership and thank the committee members for their consideration. Thanks.
Thank you, Secretary of State Simon. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to testify? Mr. Heller. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Heller. If you'll state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Committee on State and Local Government Policy. This is Rick Heller here, testifying on March 14th on this 1723 bill. I'm a white male with grated beard with a camouflage hat on. Regarding this, Steve Simon is here, glad of that. Got a communication last week from B.B. Black, their attorney, I've been pursuing accessibility at the voting polls since 2016. I believe Representative Freiberg got the correspondence just yesterday with Representative Green. Well, I have one specific question for Mr. Simon, if he's willing to yield to the question through the chair, and it was this question. Does this current bill free up money for web page accessibility at the Secretary of State through the chair?
Thank you, Mr. Heller. We can ask Secretary of State Simon to come forward and answer the question. Secretary Simon, did you hear the question, or do you need me to repeat it?
Madam Chair, could you repeat it?
My understanding of the question from Mr. Heller is, does this bill free up money for you to use for accessibility in elections? Is that correct, Mr. Heller?
Chair, it has to do with the web page accessibility. The other piece of this has to do with accessibility of the voting polls.
Thank you very much, Mr. Heller. Clarification of web page and voting polls.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Steve Simon, Secretary of State. Yes, the answer to Mr. Heller's questions is yes on both fronts. Accessibility is explicitly one of the items that Congress has said this money can and should be used for.
Thank you very much. Mr. Heller.
It's my understanding B.B. Black didn't express what bill it was. That's why I had to ask. And if about 2 years ago, I brought this up in a late evening joint meeting with Ms. Kiffmeyer in Government Operations and Mr. Nelson. And at that point, they didn't think Section 508 and Web Content Accessibility Guidelines does not apply. But when I look at the summary, it doesn't say there are any changes in the law. So it's in a way, it's misleading, because if it does provide, they need to correct the summary, because it is correct that now they can use HAVA money and state dollars for applying to the web page accessibility and at the voting polls. And I would just like to hear a yes from Mr. Simon, that's all.
Thank you, Mr. Heller, and I appreciate your bringing this important issue to the committee. Thank you, and thank you, Secretary of State Simon. Is there any further discussion of the bill? Seeing none from the public, I will move it to members. Members, Representative Nadeau, you're first.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative. And I'm not sure if this is a question for you, or if the Secretary wants to come back. So my, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. It appears to me that the money can be drawn down from the federal government and spent without. If we strike 1.7 and 1.8 in the bill, the money can be drawn down and spent, and then the Secretary would have to come back and ask the legislature for that matching appropriation. Would that put us in a bind if we decided that we didn't, if the legislature didn't want to make that appropriation for whatever reason, would that put the Secretary of State's office in a bind?
Representative Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Nadeau. I think the answer is yes, but maybe it might be better for the Secretary of State to come down and talk about how things would function if that were to happen.
Right. We have Ms. Freeman coming to the testifying table. If you would please state your name for the record and then answer the question. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. Nicole Freeman, Office of the Secretary of State. Thank you, Representative Nadeau. So what would happen, what the HAVA, initial HAVA legislation dictates is if a state match is not obtained within the time frame given, then those funds would need to be returned to the federal government.
Thank you. Further question?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you. And I mean, Representative Freiberg, I support your bill. I mean, I think this is an important thing. I just want to make sure that we don't get into a bind, and if this is the best way, if there's something else we need to do later on, but I support your bill at this point. So thank you.
You very much. Representative Bonner.
Thank you. Again, this is, I think, one of those areas where, in fact, actually, particularly our IT folks, including Lead Nash, We do have actually a lot of commonality here. You know, the Help America Vote Act funds originally came to us because we had folks trying to interfere in our election infrastructure. And fortunately, they failed, but that is why these funds originally came to us. And, you know, cybersecurity is really on par with national security when it comes to our state. And no one at any point, in my opinion, should be standing in the way of making sure that we secure our cybersecurity infrastructure here in the state. This is a core function of what government is meant to do, and that includes the legislature. We also know that these funds in particular have specific parameters around oversight, what the funds can be used for, who can use them. There are audit trails around these funds and things to protect government to make sure that they are being used for the exact purposes in which they were intended. And so for that reason, I am highly supportive of the bill, and I appreciate this bill coming forward because, again, cybersecurity is just too important for us to muck around with.
Thank you, Representative Bonner. Lead Nash.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to the author, thanks for the bill. I do agree with a good portion of the bill, and while it is pretty clear that the Senate can be a capricious and mysterious place, and I believe that they make the greatest argument that can be made for a unicameral, I don't necessarily mind the oversight piece. I actually enjoy the oversight piece. I think that if we are ultimately to be, to Representative Nadeau's question, if we're going to have to get involved in what could be potentially a deficiency down the road, then it wouldn't be the most unwise thing for us to have had oversight in the disbursement of the funds to start off with. Again, I agree with a huge portion of this, but I don't know that taking the legislature off the hook from the oversight piece is where we want to be. I've never found it particularly onerous, and you and I have served on the Elections Committee, and the Secretary just did talk about that. I've never tried to play games with the funds, and I just think that, once again, if we can try to be a better fiduciary of these funds without playing reindeer games with holding things up, that we are in a much better place. So I don't support that part of it, but I do support the effort that is trying to go on here. So thank you.
Thank you, Lead Nash. Representative Freiberg, would you like to close up your bill?
Sure. Just since the discussion seemed to focus mainly on the legislative authorization part, I just wanted to comment that, once again, you know, we are unique among states in this requirement, and experience shows it hasn't worked very well. I do think the point that Representative Nadeau made is a valid one, that there's the potential to be in a bind. But, you know, 49 other states don't have this provision in place, and I haven't heard of lots of problems as a result of that. So I think this is a common sense change. I think the funding is extremely important that's included in this bill, so I would encourage members to vote yes, and thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, and I will just say, just a reminder to the public that it was not the House Republicans or Democrats who played games with the HAVA funds. So we have been good stewards of that program. And with that, would you like to renew your motion that House File 1723 be re-referred to the Elections Committee?
Yes, I will renew that motion.
All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed?
Nay.
Hearing two, the motion prevails, and the bill, House File 1723, is re-referred to the Elections Committee. Thank you. Lead Nash, you're up next with House File 1835.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I would move House File 1835 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the House State Government Finance Bill.
Thank you, and with that, would you please speak to your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. For those that have served on this committee for any period of time, you'll remember that I think it was 2 years ago I authored a provision or a bill called the Cloud First Bill, and the Cloud First Bill is kind of a nerdy bill that said that when Minit is trying to go out for new storage or new operating functionality, rather than pursue it on an on-premise server to go to the cloud. The cloud is, we can't really describe the cloud in a short period of time. It could be summed up in somebody else's computer out there in the world. But the goal of 1835 is sort of a follow-on to that bill, and it is a portion of the bill would have some reporting as to what's going on with our cloud deployment. In IT terms, we often use the description of multi-cloud, and that's where we have multiple vendors providing competitive services to obtain the greatest functionality and at the lowest possible cost to the state of Minnesota. So that is the goal that we're pursuing, and the first portion of the bill would be to create some reporting out of that. In speaking to Minute, they have they could produce the report for us very quickly and have no objections to that. The second part of the bill is on how do licensed pieces of software go on to cloud services. There was an amendment that was drafted that didn't make the deadline, and that's my fault. I apologize. But in as much as this is being laid over, I'll work with the chair. The amendment is actually the solution that's being used in the state of Iowa, and it tightens the language up a little bit. And Chair Cleavorn, I'll work with you on trying to engross that into the bill. It makes it a little more understandable and sort of best practices out there. But I think that this is a very straightforward bill that provides a high level of accountability, because what I have heard from a number of people, both in the IT world and then from IT practitioners who are constituents, that they would like to see some reporting. And reporting is not an onerous thing. The fiscal note was included. Didn't have to bring a box of dots for myself, and thank you for that to the committee. But it has a zero cost. And with that, I'm not sure if Minute even wants to testify. If they do, I'd be happy to have them. But I would also stand for questions.
I see Mr. Eichten coming forward. Deputy Commissioner Eichten, if you would like to state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, John Eichten, Minnesota IT Services Deputy Commissioner. Want to thank Representative Nash for his continued interest in the cloud efforts we have underway at the state. Certainly supportive of the overall direction of moving away from on-premise hosting into public cloud services. As the author mentioned, we do have some questions about the practical impact of the contracting provisions in the latter half of the bill. We are working with the author reviewing some amendment language that can help to tighten that up. We'll continue to do that, and we at this point we're not opposed to the bill being laid over for possible inclusion, but we would like to continue to work with the author to make sure that there's no unintended consequences from those contracting provisions.
Thank you so much, Deputy Commissioner. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to testify on this bill? Seeing none, we'll move to member discussion. Representative Joy.
Madam Chair, thank you. Representative Nash, I'm very impressed with your fiscal note on this. Thanks for having one available. I know in this committee we haven't always had them, so thank you.
Madam Chair.
Lead Nash.
Madam Chair, and well, that's to the credit of Ms. Roberts. She pulled me aside and did execute the request for the fiscal note, and the fact that it comes back as zero makes my heart soar like a hawk.
Thank you very much. We do have excellent fiscal staff in the House. Thank you, Ms. Roberts. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, Representative Nash, if you'd like to renew your motion.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I would renew my motion that House File 1835 be laid over for possible inclusion in the House State Government Finance Omnibus Bill, and appreciate your time.
Thank you, and with that, House File 1835 is laid over. Members, I have received a note that we need to change the location of House File 1723. I mistakenly made the motion that it go back to elections. If we could please re-refer House File 1723 to Ways and Means. Representative Freiberg, if you would speak to the change.
I see Matt Gehring twitching a little bit. I think maybe the motion would be to reconsider the motion to send it to elections first.
Are we
And then we would make a motion to re-refer it to Ways and Means.
Let us do this. Let us ask Mr. Gehring to state the motion for the record. If you are, advise the chair to state.
Madam Chair, Representative Freiberg is correct. So you've already voted on the motion to refer the bill out to a different committee. So at this point, you would make a motion to reconsider the motion that sent the bill to the Elections Committee, and then you'd vote on that first. And then next, you would take a motion to instead for the bill to Ways and Means.
I love that we have excellent, nonpartisan House staff, legal staff to help keep the chair on task. So if we could please reconsider the motion that House File 1723 be re-referred to elections.
Madam Chair, I believe that you actually have to make a proper motion, so that would appropriately come from Representative Freiberg, because I don't want to have it jammed up for lack of actually moving to reconsider.
All right.
Thank you, Representative Nash. Thank you, Madam Chair. I will move to reconsider the motion that House File 1723 be re-referred to the Elections Committee.
All those in favor of reconsidering the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All of those, now we need to make the motion, a new motion.
Yep. I will move that House File 1723 be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Any discussion to the motion? Mr. Gehring, is it correct?
Madam Chair, maybe just for the record, just indicate that the first motion prevailed.
Oh, thank you very much. The motion to reconsider House File 1723, having had vote, the motion prevails. The motion is adopted. House File 1723 is now before the State Government Committee. Is that correct, Mr. Gehring? Thank you.
Now I will make the motion to re-refer House File 1723 to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Is there any discussion to the new motion that House File 1723 be re-referred to Ways and Means? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion that House File 1723 be re-referred to Ways and Means, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
Hearing one, the motion prevails and House File 1723 is re-referred to Ways and Means. Thank you, everyone, for helping me get that correct. I appreciate it. And with that, all of our business for today has been conducted. Correct. And our next meeting will be on March 16th. And with that, members, we are adjourned.